everybody, for tuning into the Shore Thing today. It is January 13th. Warren and Ryan here with you. We will be having picks for the NFL wildcard round, whatever super wildcard weekend, whatever fake name they're calling it this year. We'll have picks for that. I also have, I'm taking a look. There are some special bets right now, playoff specials. I want to get your thoughts on some of these, Ryan, so we'll discuss on this. Like, who most receiving yards in the playoffs, most rushing yards in the playoffs, potentially. What some good value is going on there? I see one, and I think it's pretty good value up there. So we'll touch on that as well. Maybe if we, Super Bowl matchups, again, we can take a look back what we had at the beginning of the season, if you remember, and do that. That's probably going to be the show today. You can check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the iHeartRadio app as well. We'll be back on, let's do a Tuesday next week again, since the Monday, we got a Monday night game in the playoffs this year. How do you feel about the Monday night playoff game?
Love it. It's, you know, it's like you get the full effect Saturday, Sunday, and then they wean you off just a little bit on Monday. And, you know, you got a nice work way into the week. Into the week, and then we're back at it again Saturday, Sunday. So I think it's perfect.
Yeah, I will say at first I was kind of against it, but I do remember last year the triple header on Saturday and the triple header on Sunday seemed a little excessive.
Yeah,
you're going a full slate of football there, but I won't say.
I think they nailed the schedule this week. Like you said, this season, two on Saturday. You got the three on Sunday, the usual time slots you're used to on Sunday: the 12, the 3, and the 7, and then you know, the Monday night game. I think the NFL nailed it this season.
Yeah, but the thing is, then the whole is obviously a Monday is not going to be playing on Saturday next weekend.
Correct.
That's the whole thing. It's still pretty much because Sunday teams could play on Saturday, so it's a short week or whatever. But now the Rams or Cardinals, whoever wins, they cannot play on Saturday. That's just not. They would have to play on Sunday, which then would create scheduling and whatever issues. But yeah, I think the next Sunday the games go to like 2 and 5. They put those in those time slots as well. But yeah, I could be on board with the. I will tell you what, I'm joining for a little Thursday night football tonight.
That's how I felt last week. Like, I felt like we should have had one last week, but so I don't totally disagree with you.
Last week I was fine. Tonight I'm jonesing for a little Thursday night football. What they need to do is they need to not make the national championship game on a Monday night. They need to have that sucker last Friday, lead us in to then you get the two NFL games on Saturday, then week 18.
Yeah.
Like, why put a game? Why not put it on a Friday night? I don't get that.
Yeah. I've never really understood the. Because, like, the entire season, college isn't played on a Monday night. You know, even when we get the action, it's Tuesday, Wednesday. And then all of a sudden they have the national championship on a Monday night. I've never understood that. They've been doing that for as long as I can remember, and I've just never fully understood it. I think it should be a Saturday night game. I think that'd be perfect.
Yeah, well, I agree, but I think the NFL is now in the marketplace on the Saturday night when they would do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't get why they don't do it Saturday night or Friday night. When they did it on the BCS, when it was the BCS, it would change dates that it was before it was the national championship. Before they had the extra game, like the national championship game, when it was just like the Fiesta Bowl,
correct,
the Orange Bowl, the Rose Bowl, whenever that game was the national championship game, it was just whatever day that bowl game was scheduled. So one day it was on like a Wednesday, the next year it was on a Thursday. But then whenever they started that national championship game, they did it Monday night. Monday night's a big TV night, so that's why they do it. But it was the lowest from Monday night's game. It was the lowest rated national championship game ever, excluding last year, going back since ever they had the college football playoff, excluding last year. But last year, everything in TV ratings was down. Like, this wasn't a highly rated game at all. It was like the second lowest ever, which isn't very good because you have Alabama, you got Georgia, at least you got the Bama power, and then Georgia kind of getting off the schneid. So and it was a close game in the fourth quarter too. Like, if you go back and look at all the other games, normally when it comes in the fourth quarter, people, third quarter, fourth quarter, they're like, all right, people start turning in and the viewership gets high. the fourth quarter was still pretty lowly rated. So I found that pretty intriguing that it was a lowly rated game, and we'll have to see that. I know we've talked about the playoff before in the expansion and how we're both against it. Cause they get, I think you're in agreement on this, that if they expand it, it's just going to, like, you're playing more games just to get down to the inevitable of the four teams that are going to be in the semifinals. But then it also does open up, like, more teams to get in those first games, even though they're not going to make a run. And you could consider, people are saying it's going to be more fun if more teams are in it. I mean, I think we both disagree on that, right?
100%. Yeah. 100%. I mean, especially if it's a 1 versus 8. That's why if there is expansion, I've said this time and time again, it just needs to go to 6 teams. So that way the first 2 get a bye. And then it's, you know, 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5. Maybe you get a little bit of competition in that 4 versus 5 game. Even that 3 versus 6 probably isn't going to be too competitive. You know, I guess it can, you know, it varies year to year. This year, I don't know how competitive it would have been. We already saw Cincinnati, Notre Dame play once, you know, and then obviously Notre Dame losing their head coach and a couple opt-outs. So, you know, obviously if they're in the playoff, if it's a six team playoff, who knows if Brian Kelly leaves, who knows if they have opt-outs. So, you know, you can always play that what if game. But again, I don't know how competitive those games would be if we are expanding. I mean, is it more fun? I don't know. Is it more games? Yeah, absolutely. But who finished up the eighth seed? I don't know if I want to see Bama playing whoever was that finished up the eighth seed. How competitive is that game?
The eighth seed was that Ole Miss. Let me take a look at the last rankings here. Not the rankings this past week, but before. Let's see. Number 8 was Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So if it was 8 teams, it would be Bama, Ole Miss, Michigan, Baylor, Georgia, Ohio State, and Cincinnati, Notre Dame. I mean, that's, you would get
those are some big matchups, big marquee name matchups. But again, I don't know how competitive those games would be.
I would see the
Ohio State. Yeah, that would have been a good one. Absolutely. I mean, that would have been a nice matchup to see. Who, Michigan Baylor, is that the other one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that one.
That would have been an under game.
Yeah, big time under game. They might have set the total at like 38.
Yeah.
I'm out on expansion. Again, I think we both agreed too. Let's do the BCS and just give me the top 2 teams, or give me the BCS and give me, you know, 4 teams, and I think we'd be better off with that.
Yes, it's agreed. We want the human element out on this.
Yes.
Also, some cleanup. Have you been? I think you probably disagree on this, but I was doing some reading and listening around. But people are some of the talking heads saying that the Georgia defense, the best college defense of all time.
You were falling into this trap of every team that wins the national championship is either the best offensive we've ever seen, the best team we've ever seen, the best something we've ever seen. So that Georgia defense was very, very good, fast. I mean, one of the fastest defenses I can remember, where they're just flying all over the place. I don't know if I will put the best defense title on them, but it is definitely up there with one of the best we've ever seen for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they had one bad game, obviously. That was the SEC championship game. Other than that, that was the only time someone scored over 20 points on them all season.
Didn't play a whole lot of great offenses, though.
No, they didn't.
That's the only caveat.
No, that is a caveat, but still, like, not holding great offenses to under 20 points and, like, holding a bunch of teams to, like, 7. And, like, I mean, Kentucky scored on the last play of the game to get to 13 points. Like, there are teams that were, like, trying to score at the end of the game so they could get double digits. But I also think you look at, like, what other teams, like, look at how they did against other good teams, those teams that they played in the East. They put up more points than what they did against Georgia. Look, I'm not saying they are the best defense of all time, but they got a ton of studs out there. That guy, what's that linebacker's name? Nikhil, Dean?
Yeah.
That guy, I want him on my team. He is he flying around and seeing the safety. He's a stud, obviously the defensive lineman, but Yeah, there's a lot of that. But I also, they have like so many talented guys. So when they have that much talent, like it's going to be thrown around. Like I still think the Alabama offense last year, like they were as good, if not better, of the LSU offense of Joe Burrow. And they said they've like, you just get blinded by how much talent they had there. But yeah, no, it was a lot of stuff coming out there. And yeah, just a couple of cleanup going on from the college ranks. All right, we'll get to the NFL. Big slate ahead this week. I will say I teased it ahead. I will say I think I have two playoff plays of the year.
Well, let them rip. If you're
I got ready. I got two of them. Well, I already gave one out on Tuesday. The Chiefs minus 12, minus 13. I'm even looking at, I even took the alt line at a Chiefs minus 20. I got a Chiefs I got a Chiefs minus 20 at plus 240, which I thought was pretty good.
I mean, I don't hate it. I don't hate it by any means. You know, I don't know that I pulled the trigger on it, but I absolutely don't hate it.
I've seen the Steelers play a lot of football this year. I saw this game being played 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. The Steelers just are not a good offensive football team. Mm-hmm. And like defensive, huh?
I said, yeah,
like Roethlisberger is horrible. Did you see the thing that he said yesterday in his press conference? I saw it on Twitter. He said that, oh, no one's given us a chance to win, so let's just go out there and have fun. And like, yeah, you hear the clip, like, okay, yeah, he's going to say that. But you watch the clip. I don't know if Roethlisberger even wants to be playing in the playoffs. I'm going to be honest. Like, you watch his facial, like, his facial expressions and everything, and see his emotion. I think the guy would rather just be kicking up this week. And not, obviously, he wants to be in the playoffs. But it didn't seem like he was that excited to play the game on Sunday when
I
saw the clip.
I totally agree. No, I totally agree. I think he wanted to ride off into the sunset with that last win in week 18 and hang him up and be done with it. And unfortunately for him, he's going to have to play at least one more game, probably only one more game. It would surprise me if they made a little run and maybe won one or two games.
I'd be stunned if they beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But I wouldn't totally disagree with you in saying that he probably isn't loving the fact that they got to play an extra week.
I'm shocked he just didn't say after they beat the Browns on Monday night, I'm done right here. I'm not playing against the Ravens. I know people would say that's really selfish because they were still had a glimmer of hope in the playoffs, but I'm shocked he just didn't do that. He goes, you know what? That's the ultimate me move. And we know he's the ultimate me guy. I'm shocked he didn't do that. I'm shocked he didn't do that. I just do not see how the Steelers compete. And what I was going to say is if you look at like the advanced stats from the Monday night game against the Browns, shockingly, he was worse with expected completion percentage, all that stuff. He had a worse game than Baker on that Monday night when you go look at the advanced stats. I mean, he completed 35 passes for 128 yards. Mm-hmm. Like, he just doesn't throw the ball down the field. I like Deontay Johnson a lot as a receiver, but boy, does he drop a ton of passes. He is good, but I just don't see how the Steelers keep up with the Chiefs. I really don't. I know I'm probably, and it's not like a lot of Steelers hate. I've just been saying they've been bad all year, and somehow Mike Tomlin is able to get them to win games. I don't get it, but the Chiefs is one of them. And then the other line, how are the Bills? Now it's minus 4. Give me the Bills against the Patriots. We saw this game again. What? 3 weeks, the day after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
What from the last month and a half has shown that the Patriots are a competent offensive football team when they've played good teams? They've gotten behind in every single game. They got behind against the Colts on that Saturday night. They got behind against the Bills the day after Christmas. Obviously, they steamrolled the Jags. We're taking that out of the question. And then they were behind against the Dolphins. And Mac Jones cannot throw him back. They've lost 3 of their last 4. The last game, the only other game they won was against the Bills when it was 40-mile-an-hour winds, and the Bills just, they couldn't figure out the wind. It's going to be cold, but it's not going to be windy. I just haven't been imp- impressed with the Patriots the last month. Yeah, they went on a great run. They beat a bunch of bad teams or teams that were hurt during that time. And I'm just not a believer in the Patriots. And I haven't been a believer in Mac Jones all year. And I just don't see how they're minus four. I love the Bills. I love the Bills minus four. We've seen this game twice already.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, we've talked about it before too. The Patriots, I trust Mac Jones. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I do think he is limited in some of the things he can do and some of the throws he can make. And that Bills offense is so dynamic, and they look like maybe they found a little bit of a running game. Devin Singletary's kind of popped off the last couple weeks, both in the running game and the catching game. So again, I know I've been a big proponent of if the Bills can run the ball a little bit more, just to have a tiny bit more balance. They don't need to be run heavy. It doesn't need to be 50-50 more. Even if it's 80-20 or 75-25 pass to run, I think that's good for them and being able to kind of keep the defense on their toes a little bit. But if the Bills get up by, you know, a touchdown, 10 points, two touchdowns, there's no way that Mac Jones and that Patriots offense is going to be able to get into a shootout with them. There's just the Patriots don't have the playmakers to do it. Mac Jones, I don't think, has a big enough arm to do it. The Patriots defense is good. It's a very good defense. They're going to be without Christian Barmore, I believe, their rookie defensive tackle. But, you know, nonetheless, if the Bills start off hot, there's just no way that I feel like the Patriots are going to be able to keep up with them. If Dwayne Harris happens to have a big game running the ball, you know, he's going to have to run for about 200 yards and three touchdowns, I think, if the Patriots are going to have a shot to put up a ton of points. So I agree with you. If, you know, it's going to be cold, like you said, fine. These teams both are fine with playing in the cold. If there's no other elements outside of that, I think I love the Bills, you know, a bunch in this game to be able to win by a touchdown, if not double digits.
Yeah, and T.A., who we reference a lot, tweeted out rookie quarterbacks, their performance on wildcard weekend since 2001. They are 4-7 against the spread. And one of them was when two rookies played against each other, which was when Russell Wilson beat RG3 when RG3's knee gave out on that great FedEx Field turf. But the only other winners were Joe Flacco beat Miami, T.J. Yates beat Cincinnati, and Mark Sanchez beat Cincy. So nobody since – no rookie has won a game since that was Russell Wilson in 2013 because Connor Cook, he played Houston. They lost. So pretty much going back the last 10 years, no rookie QB has won on wild card weekend. And that's another thing, too. Yeah, that's why I just – the Bills, a Saturday night game, too – I love the Bills. Those are my two. I love those two plays this week. All right. Before we get rest of the weekend, we went by team and who we picked the most, who was our best record of, was there any team we left off? Let's do that. And then we'll get back into the rest of the wildcard weekend.
All right.
So I did have one team. I picked 31 teams in the NFL this year on our show. There was one team I did not pick. Do you have a guess who that was?
Man, we talked about it a little bit post-show. Was it the Steelers?
Nope. I was 1-1 with the Steelers. The team that I did not pick, it was pretty easy to guess, was the Cleveland Browns.
You didn't pick them once?
No, I picked against them twice.
Ah, okay.
I picked against them when they steamrolled Cincinnati, and then I picked against them on Monday Night Football when they lost. So I did not pick the Browns.
Wow.
There were teams I picked one time. Washington I picked once, and they lost. New England I picked once. The Ravens I picked once, New Orleans I picked once, and San Francisco I picked once. That was it. Oh, and Carolina picked a couple times, so that was not it. Oh, and the Jets. I lost once on the Jets, and I was done with them.
So there's quite a few teams I only picked once. Houston was one of them. I went 1-0 with Houston. Cleveland I only picked once, and I went 0-1. And Jacksonville I picked once. That was week 18. Against the Colts, and they obviously went 1-0.
What a fake fan, fake Trevor Lawrence rider.
Hey, no, hey, I'm riding with him. You know, we're getting there. I was fading Urban Meyer. You notice as soon as they get rid of him, then I can start back in Jacksonville a little bit. So that was the thought process there. Three teams I did not pick. I didn't pick the Giants. I did not pick the Steelers, and I did not pick New Orleans once all year. So I only picked 29 teams. And I'll tell you what, there is three teams that I really loaded up on. One of them, I have no idea why I loaded up on them the way I did. That was the Atlanta Falcons. I picked them six times this
year. Is that your highest?
No, the highest was the Packers. They went 5-3-1 with the Packers. I picked them nine times. But again, Atlanta, I picked six times, went 2-4 with them. The third team I picked the most, any guesses?
Washington.
It was absolutely Washington. We had a winning record. We went 4-3.
Well, you kept on giving them a last chance game and they would win it for you like 3 weeks in a row, I think, or two weeks in a row.
3 weeks in a row. We got three dubs in a row. Never lost back-to-back games. We went loss, win, loss, three wins in a row, and then a loss. And then I was done with them. I was final straw after that one. Those are the top three teams I picked the most.
Okay, there are two teams I picked seven times this year.
Wow.
One of them was the Cowboys, 5-2.
I figured.
Yeah, but the other one will surprise you. It was the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Really?
Yep. And you know what?
See, I knew you were a Trevor Lawrence guy. No, that's your Urban Meyer love coming out. That's what that is.
No, I picked against him week one. I don't even like Urban Meyer. I was probably just picking the Jags to stick it to you is pretty much probably what it was. But you know what? Huh?
How'd that work out?
4-3.
Hey, that's not bad.
No, not at all. There were two teams that I picked six times. I picked Vegas six times. That was 3-3. And then I picked Miami six times at 4-2. That's not bad. In Miami, I was on a late run. Other than that, nothing really too interesting. Indianapolis, I was 3-0 on. That was the only team Buffalo, I was 3-1 on. So I think I've had a good read on the Bills this year. But other than that, Detroit, I picked five times, which is probably a little alarming.
No, not really. They were the third best team against the spread this year. They were six against the spread.
Yeah, but I went 2-3 with them. Oh, so tough. That was tough. But, I picked Baltimore once. I think I already said that. Green Bay. Did I say I went 2-2 with Green Bay this year? That's tough. Yeah. I thought I picked them more, but that's where we were. That's where we were at.
So I also picked the Lions. I picked the Lions three times and 0-3 with them. So tough look there. Oof. I rode with the Jets four times, 0-4 there.
Credit to you for keep on picking the Jets four times.
Yeah, no kidding. I think it was when I was trying. I don't know why or when it was. I'd have to go back and look. But Miami and Chicago picked them three times, 3-0 with them, both of them. 2-0 with San Francisco, 2-0 Seattle, 2-0 with the Rams. So kind of hit a couple darts there. 2-0 with the Colts as well. So, you know, we were pretty good riding them. This season.
All right.
Have you looked at the final teams against the spreads record?
I've not.
So we have, I had it marked down here. I'm going to have to do the old Ryan counting on air. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 teams were either 9-8 or 8-9 against the spread. And mixed in there was Philadelphia. They were 8-8-1. So if you made any money on the NFL this week, or this season, hats off to you, because I mean, that is just insane. Over half the league, or almost half the league, was right around between 47% and 52% against the spread.
Hey, I'm looking at the numbers here too. Credit to me. I had seven games of Jacksonville. They were 5-12 against the spread.
And you went 4-3 with them?
4-3 with them.
Hey, yeah.
I mean, that shows I was 55-35 on the season. I had a good year.
Yeah. I mean, 3-0 with Chicago, and they only covered six times.
Yeah, there were. Carolina and Jacksonville are tied for the worst at 5-12 against the spread. And Carolina, I think, started out like 3-0 against the spread too. They were hot.
Yeah.
On the
everyone thought Darnold was back.
Yep. Everybody. I mean, let me tell you, Detroit really. What did they win? Three games this year? Two games?
Three, 13-1, I think.
They really should have won probably about six or seven
games. Oh, they were like, absolutely
We talked about this before. It was the Vikings game. They somehow blew that. The Ravens game, they had no business losing. So that's two more wins. That gets them to five. They probably should have beat the Steelers to take that tie out, give them a win. Yeah, they really should have won. Chicago on Christmas Day or on Thanksgiving, excuse me, they probably should have won. Yeah, they should have definitely won way more games than
yeah,
what
I was
they
talking
did.
With a buddy of mine, and we were, you know, kind of making the joke, kind of a joke, but not really. Like, if you're Dan Campbell, you go to the higher ups and say, hey, look, I went 11-6 against the spread. Yeah, it's against the spread. Does it translate to wins? No. But if you look at expectancy to win the game versus, you know, how big of a blowout it should have been, you know, and how close we made it, pretty damn good job. And you look at that roster is bad. That's not a good roster. You can't pick out one guy other than Amon Ra St. Brown, who really came on at the end. And of course, DeAndre Swift.
How is he not the first name out of your mouth? I think that says everything you need to say about DeAndre
Swift. Well, you know, he was a little banged up this season. So, you know, obviously, and you know, recency bias, Amon Ra, he's kind of gone off the last few weeks here this season. So he was fresh in the mind. But, you know, he looks like a great young wide receiver. You have a top five running back in the league in DeAndre Swift. And so, you know, those two guys aside, you know, you got something to kind of build around there. And Dan Campbell, I think, did a great job with them.
I think like team camaraderie wise and like leader, Dan Campbell's great. We still need to work on some game management stuff with him.
Game management, maybe get some better coordinators and a better quarterback.
Well, he obviously needs a better offensive coordinator. They let go Anthony Lynn.
Yeah.
But I still remember the Browns game when they played him. He made some jarring game management decisions that.
You know, he's not a numbers guy. He's a feel guy. He's going to go by feel. He's played.
Yeah, but his feel is off a lot this year, I would say, which is some, maybe you need to look at the numbers here. All right. And then team totals. I don't know if you have yours pulled up, but I went, I had four this year and we rattled off a nice 3-1. I had the Rams over 10.5, the Vikings under 9, and the Giants under 7.5. The one loss was the Jags over 6.5.
Yeah.
But the Giants was easy. The Vikings ended up, they went 8-9. So we got that. And so, yeah, 3-1.
I'll have to go back. I'll have them by the end of the show. I'll have to go back and look at them again. But, yeah, I'll have them before we wrap up.
All right. And before other picks this weekend, I mentioned at the beginning, listen to this. So we got we've got most receiving yards and most rushing yards out there, props out there for the playoffs. Tell me why you shouldn't bet most receiving yards, Devontae Adams at +850.
That's exactly the first guy that came to mind.
Like, he's not the favorite. Who do you think the favorite is?
Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, but he could be gone this week.
100%.
So, and then the third favorite is Diggs at 9-1. Kelce and Hill are 11-1.
No, neither of those guys going to do it. They haven't done it all year.
I know. Jamar Chase is 14-1. They could be bounced out this week. Debo Samuel, he doesn't get enough receive. He doesn't get enough catches. AJ Brown's at 20-1. I don't understand how you don't bet Devontae Adams at +850.
Got to agree.
Because I know that they don't play this week, so they could only potentially get two games. But Ayuk, I don't know. I like Mike Evans. If you like him, he's at 14-1. He might be the next best option. The Cowboys, if you think they can go on a run, CeeDee Lamb 16-1, Amari Cooper's 25-1. But Dak just doesn't like throwing to Amari Cooper now anymore. I don't get that. Yeah, I don't know. I was shocked that Adams wasn't like around 500 range.
Yeah, no, I'm surprised as well because I was the 100% the first guy that came to mind when you mentioned that.
Okay, and who do you think the favorite is in rushing yards? I really have no idea in this one. What the favorite is, Derrick Henry at +650.
Is he even going to play?
Yeah, I think he's supposed to play. He's back. Okay. They activated him off the.
Yeah, I knew they activated him. I just didn't know if he was actually going to get some run.
Yeah, I think he's going to play. He's
I might throw a dart at Aaron Jones.
He's +850 too.
Yeah, that's where I might throw a dart.
The other like. Let me running backs on playoff teams this year. This definitely shows that you don't really need a good running back. God, where's Zeke? Is Zeke even on the list? Lenny's plus 850. Daryl Williams is plus 850. Joe Mixon is 10-1. Oh, Zeke's 10-1. Maybe Elijah Mitchell 16-1. Deontay Foreman.
I don't hate Elijah Mitchell. I don't hate Elijah.
No, and I think he's gonna go off this week. But Deontay Foreman's 30-1. If you think Derrick Henry's gonna get re-hurt again and they make a run. But the running backs, I don't know. I'd be skeptical on the running back situation. But Devontae Adams at most receiving yards plus 850. That seems, when they're almost too easy or too obvious, that's a little alarming, I think.
You know, you always do that, and then it happens, and you're like, it was so obvious. Why didn't I do it?
Yeah. Yeah. And you could do like correct matchups. Who do you think is coming out of the NFC right now? Or what do you think the NFC Championships game is going to be? I think it's going to be the Packers I like the Packers. I think they're going to win their first game. Other than that, I don't really know. I think we could be like Green Bay, San Francisco, and that's plus 750. I don't think that's bad odds on that. I'm not going to bet correct matchup, but what do you think it's going to be? You think we're going to rematch of last year?
That's where I'm leaning. I'd probably say about 60% Green Bay, Tampa Bay. I don't hate Green Bay, San Francisco. And then maybe like 60% rematch of last year, 30% Green Bay, San Francisco, the other 30% Green Bay, LA.
Okay, that's 4-1.
So kind of chalky, but still, I mean, the way the NFC's gone, why else would I do anything else?
Something about the Bucs seems off lately.
Well, because they have no wide receivers other than
Mike
Evans.
I know. They don't have it, but the guys are stepping up.
Lenny's been great.
But yeah, but he's been out for out. I think he's coming back this week, but
yeah, he is.
My cash cow's back. I need my cash cow back. But I just don't I don't know. I just something about the Bucs seems a little off. Like maybe the secondary seems a little poor. I don't know. It's hard to doubt Brady in the playoffs. That's why I'm like, I should just think they're going to win, but I don't know. The supporting cast seems a little low this year. That's because they've got all the injuries. Maybe they sign AB back again for the playoffs.
That would be absolutely hilarious. Don't think that's going to happen, but I wish.
Okay. Then the AFC, the favorite for the correct matchup is Chiefs Titans. And then the Bills Titans is second best. I think we might be headed back for a rematch of next year. The Bills Chiefs.
Yeah, that'd probably be my pick as well.
I mean, the AFC is wide open. Minus the Steelers, I would say. Because who's the sixth seed? It's it'd be the Patriots are the sixth seed. Okay. Yeah, I do think it's wide open, but I don't know. It's hard for me to see the Raiders making a run as much as I'd like to see it. I think they got a good shot this week, but I don't like that. All right, to the other picks. I gave two of my picks. What are some of the games you like on the board this week?
I mentioned it on Tuesday. I like the Raiders. It opened at 6.5. It's dropped down a full point to plus 5.5. I really like what they're, you know, kind of putting together there. You know, I'm a huge Derek Carr guy. Always have been. Always will be. Really believe in what he's doing out there. So I do like the Vegas Raiders plus 6.5. Mentioned. I love Buffalo minus 4. The one that intrigues me. I don't know which way I would go. Before I get to that part. San Francisco plus 3. I think they might win outright this week. I think they move on, even in a hostile environment coming here to Texas to play the Cowboys. The one that intrigues me, I don't think they win, but there is an odd chance they keep it close. We just talked about Tampa Bay's deficiencies right now, but Philadelphia covering 8.5. I would not be shocked if they're able to cover that and make it kind of a close game.
No, in their last, I saw it as their last like 7 playoff games, I think. They're as an underdog, they're 5-2 straight up and 7-0 against the spread. So they're a good underdog. They did play early in the season. They kept it close. I like Philly. I don't know what to make of Jalen Hurts.
So he's got a little of what I used to talk about when Tim Tebow was in the league for that very short time. And even when he was coming into the league from Florida, he's got a little Tim Tebow to him where sometimes he just figures out a way to win games or figures out a way to make games close. You know, sometimes you have guys like that, that maybe throughout the duration of the game, they just don't look very good. But if it's a close game or it's coming down to at the end, they just find a way to make a play here or there. You know, he's not a huge playmaker with his arm, but he obviously can make tons of plays with his legs, extending plays outside the pocket and find, you know, whether it's Dallas Goedert or hit Jalen Reagor right in the hands before he drops it, something like that. So that's what really has me leaning this way of the Eagles covering the 8.5. And the running game isn't bad. It doesn't matter who's back there, whether it's Bart Scott, whether it's Miles Sanders, whether it's Jordan Howard. The running game has been pretty good this year for Philadelphia, whether it's Jalen Hurts or one of those guys, you know, lining up at running back for them. So that's why I think they could kind of keep it close, you know, for a time being and even right up towards the end of the game, even if it's a late score to get within the number. And obviously Devontae Smith is sick, and he's going to be a guy that they're – you know, thrown to for a long time, hopefully for Eagles fans.
Well, and Dallas Goedert's great too.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. It was a great move getting rid of Ertz, you know, to make Goedert the premier tight end.
And Hurts and Goedert have a good rapport on the field too. Like they know where they're at and everything. So the stat is the Eagles are 5-0 in playoff games since 2017 as underdogs and 4-1 straight up. So obviously that was a lot on the Super Bowl run, but they still have a good, at least the team has a good history there. All right, so let's talk a little about this Cowboys game. I think I'm leaning on the 49ers with you on that, +3. The rushing attack for the Cowboys this year has been suspect at best, and what does San Francisco do great? They run the ball great, no matter who it is. I think Trey Sermon's coming off IR if they need some enforcements there. And they got a great defensive line, Bosa, D. Ford, and we know how Tyron Smith, I think he's been pretty bad this year. Would you agree?
Yes and no. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, the biggest thing with me with 49ers is just, look, Jimmy G is not very good. Obviously, he's got the banged up thumb or finger. I think it's his thumb. But, I mean,
yeah, it's his thumb.
Kyle Shanahan just puts really good game plans together. George Kittle hasn't been great the last couple weeks. Hasn't gotten a ton of looks his way. But, I mean, the running game, the zone blocking scheme with Elijah Mitchell, he's been great. He's been, he's been a great find in the draft for him, you know, coming in as a rookie. And so, you know, between him and Deebo Samuel, I just don't know if the Cowboys defense – Cowboys offense can keep up with some of the play calling and scheme that San Francisco comes up with.
I mean, lately it looks like they haven't been able to get over like the 24-point threshold against a good team. I'm not counting the game against the Eagles JV defense, and I'm not counting the game against Washington when they were fighting on the sideline and they had a bunch of injuries and dudes coming off of COVID. Like, against good teams this year in the back half of the season, they haven't proved that their offense has been capable of scoring points. The thing for the Cowboys is Jimmy G obviously is prone to the interception, which the Cowboys have shown this year. They're very good at getting turnovers. And Trayvon Diggs, boom or bust, he's going to be definitely peaking in the backfield with Jimmy G. And the other thing is Jimmy G's a statue back there. And we know the one thing the Cowboys are good at is getting a lot of pressure, whether it's Parsons, Gregory, DeMarcus Lawrence. So they're going to have to create enough pressure up there to get to Jimmy G, because I think Jimmy G's good. I'd take him on the Browns in a heartbeat. If they want to get rid of him after this year, I would trade for Jimmy G in a heartbeat. He had that great game-winning drive this past week. I think that the Niners are a bad matchup for the Cowboys, especially just how running the ball. We've seen the Cowboys get gashed on the run this year. And they're able to create pressure. And yeah, I think Dak's going to have to scramble a lot this game, which is a good thing that they have, because Jimmy G doesn't scramble a lot right now. I just think this is a tough matchup for the Cowboys. This is who would you rather face if you're the Cowboys? Would you rather face the Cardinals or the 49ers?
The Cardinals.
Do you think so? I think I would disagree on that. I'd rather face the Niners just because that Kyler and his Kyler's mobility is such a big difference that Jimmy G was used to be able to scramble, but ever since that ACL, he's kind of stopped. His mobility just stopped there. So Kyler's mobility is a huge thing, but I don't know. I just think the Niners are.
What's the status on D-Hop? Is he done for the year?
I don't know. I do not know.
Me neither.
I think it was maybe if they made it to like the championship game or the Super Bowl, he could be back.
Okay.
I don't know there, but I don't think this is a good matchup for the Cowboys. So one of our former coworkers, Ryan, posted on Instagram his story on Monday morning that, wow, what a great accomplishment it was for the Cowboys to go undefeated in the division this year. And it was like, I don't know, it was like 6:30 in the morning. I was feeling a little spicy. And I just said, dude, they got like five. They're in the worst division of football. And they got like four. They got like layups everywhere. They got two layups against the Giants. They beat an Eagles team that wasn't trying, and Washington was bad this year. Like, they get layups all the time. What do you think this guy's response was?
I'm sure Connor had something that was like, hey, I'm sure it doesn't matter, we're still undefeated, or something of the sorts.
Okay, I will pull up the exact response. His exact response was, but could the Browns do it if they were in the NFC East? And my response was, well, they played the NFC East last year and went 4-0.
Burn.
And he says, that's fine. We still sunned our whole division this year. Not really layups either. The Eagles made the playoffs. And I said, the Eagles rested literally every starter on Saturday night. And at the beginning of the season, when you played them, they were horrible. And then he kept going, bringing up the Browns into this. And I said, I told you, the Browns went 4-0 against the NFC East last year. What more do I need to say? Sorry, we only play them once every 3 years or 4 years.
You know, he's one of those guys that he's just going to, you know, respectfully so, just going to blindly back his team, which I can't.
Totally, which is fine.
I understand that. But when you start immediately going at the other guy's team that you're having the conversation with, you kind of lose the argument right there.
Yeah. Also, I would like to say this was at 5:11 in the morning when I responded. So
you just woke
I just
up.
Woke up and chose violence.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what you did.
Didn't even wait. I thought I waited an hour. No, I just woke up and chose violence.
You said, you know what? I'm just gonna get in the mud real early. I'm gonna start my day in the mud and stay in the mud all day long.
Oh, it was an early victory for your boy. No, I thought that was and obviously he had no idea the Browns went 4-0 against the NFC East last
correct.
Year.
Correct. Yeah.
But I did, and that's why I chose that because I knew early on he was going to bring that up, and what do you know, that was the first response. So I thought you would get a kick out of that.
That is pretty funny. I did see that same post, and I just rolled my eyes and kept it moving because I wanted to say something of the same sorts, like, buddy, like, you see what our collective record was as a division? I mean, come on.
And then he tried to tell me the NFC or the AFC South was worse because the Jags are worse than the Giants, and I would beg to differ on that.
I'd beg to differ as well.
And the thing is, like the Cowboys, if you want to own a division, like, look at what the Patriots did against the AFC East. Those teams were terrible. They went 6-0. Maybe they lost to Miami here and there 5-1. Like, that's what good teams are supposed to do against an inferior division, go 6-0 against them. So, yeah, look, it is an accomplishment that they went 6-0. I'm not taking anything away from them. But, like, if you want to be considered a Super Bowl caliber team, like, that's what you do. Like, minimum 5-1 against the division, 6-0. Like, that's what good teams do. That's what they do. The Packers haven't lost a divisional game in, what, 2 years? 2.5, 3 years? Like, they dominate the division. Like, that's what you do in bad divisions. So, yeah, that's like, it's almost an indictment that I know, like, take last year out of it because Dak's been hurt. Like, it's almost an indictment of the Cowboys as an organization, because I think they've probably been the most talented team, what, the last 5 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that or not? I'm trying to go back and think what other Like the Eagles? No, the Cowboys in the NFC East. Obviously, when the Eagles made the playoffs.
Oh, over the last 5 years? Yeah, probably.
Like, they should probably have more than one or two division titles in the last couple of years, I would think.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole thing. It's like an indictment on them. Like, the Giants have been horrible since 2012. You should sweep them every single year.
Yeah.
That was the larger point of that this is what good teams should do.
Yeah.
I even think the Chiefs, didn't they go undefeated against their division this year? I got to go back and look at that. But they went pretty damn close because I don't think they lost to Chargers this year.
Yeah.
The Chiefs won 5-1 in the division this year. So, that's it. I mean, the Cowboys were the only team to go undefeated in the division this year. The Titans won 5-1 and the Bills won 5-1. So, yeah, but no, I woke up and chose Zion's. All right. Any other official picks or whatever for this week?
I think I'm going to ride with the Rams -4.5 as well, or excuse me, -4 right now. It opened at 4.5. I think I'm going to ride with them. My official picks are going to be Vegas, Buffalo, San Francisco, and the Rams.
Okay. I'm going to throw a total in there. If you got a total, you like throw it in there too.
Okay.
Playoffs. It doesn't really matter. I'm going to take the, I looked at the weather in Cincinnati. It was supposed to snow, but now there is no snow in the forecast. That's now for Sunday. I was going to take that under a layoff. I'm going to take the Bills -4, as I said. Obviously, the Chiefs -13. I already have a -20. I'm going to take the over in the Eagles-Bucks game of 46. And then I'm going to take the Niners +3. So those are the four picks I have this week.
The one total I like is I'm going to take the over in that San Francisco Dallas game 51. That's a high total, but I like it.
That is a high total. You can get, I saw on the NFL specials, you can get them to be the highest scoring game of the week at like +300 if you want it, which.
Yeah, it's either that or the Arizona game, I think.
I would agree with you on that. All right. Do you have anything else?
I got my team totals here.
Okay.
Rough year for your boy. But also a little telling on my picks for the season. So We nailed Tennessee over nine wins. We had that. So we went 1-3. Actually, excuse me, we went 1-4 on team totals. Washington over 8.5. Just barely missed that one. It's funny. I went back and listened. I almost pulled the trigger on the Texans over 4. And I was like, no, I'm going to scratch that. They won 4 exactly. So that would have been a push. Didn't take it. But I had Philly under 7. Obviously, they won 9 games. Lost that one. The two that are really telling of where my picks went this season. I had Atlanta over 7.5. Missed it by half a game. They won 7. And then I had the Jets. This is mind-boggling. Don't know why I did this. Over 6 games. Obviously lost that. They only won 4. So, a little telling there. Just missed that Atlanta one, just barely. Probably should have beat Washington, and that would have given me the over there. Nonetheless, that's what we finished up with.
Romo had the Jets as like a sleeper team this year. He thought they were going to be great or very good. He was high on Zach Wilson.
As was I, but that roster just isn't very good. I believe in Robert Saleh. I think he's going to be a good culture changer over there. And if they're dumb enough to fire him after 3 years, I think he'll land somewhere and be able to do it with a good organization.
Yeah, how about the Brian Flores thing? We didn't talk about that on Monday.
Yeah, that was wild. I think did that happen after we recorded?
No, because that happened Monday. We recorded on Tuesday. Yeah, we didn't talk any coaches.
Yeah, that was a head scratcher. I almost like if you're like a borderline team, I'd almost pull the trigger on fire a coach just to hire Brian Flores. You know what I mean? Depending on who you are. Like if you're the Giants, I think you definitely take a look at Brian Flores. You know what I mean? There's a couple teams out there that I think should definitely consider bringing him in. As far as a Washington fan, I like Ron Rivera. I think right now he'd be better suited in a front office role for Washington. And then, you know, maybe finding a different head coach here in the next year or two. But I don't know if I'm ready for Brian Flores just quite yet. But if you're one of those teams, right, you know, kind of questioning things, whether you should make a move at head coach or not, maybe pull the trigger and make the move. Like Atlanta, maybe them, you know, that's a team that, you know, move on from is it Arthur Smith there?
Yeah, no? I don't think he's just got hired, though, this year. Yeah, they're not going to move on.
I know. But, you know, so there's a couple teams there that you could almost kind of. Texans, David Culley, what's that guy done? I mean, granted, you know, that again, roster is terrible, so I don't know.
Davis Mills.
He did look good the last two or three weeks. He actually did look good. I think he had like 8 touchdowns and 2 interceptions over the last 3 or 4 weeks. So not bad.
Yeah, no, he played better towards the last part of the season. I will say I was very surprised they fired him, but I mean, he did do the amazing thing of have a 7-game losing streak and then win 7 games in a row this year.
Yeah.
But I he also missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. It's tough, but he had a winning record the last 2 years with the Dolphins, and they missed the playoffs both years.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's and he has had 3 different offensive coordinators in 3 years. So there are some other things I think that went on behind the scenes, or that. Things not like him just rallying the guys and being a coach that took place to him getting fired.
Yeah.
Rightfully or wrongly. All right. I have one thing here. It is soccer related. It's also gambling related. So the African Cup of Nations is going on right now.
Of course. Yep.
As you know, AFCON, as they call it, it's on BN Sport. This is like the Euros, the CONCACAF Gold Cup, whatever. They do it in January because that's the middle of the summer in Africa every 2 years. Copa America, this is it. So far, there have been 13 games, not counting the game going on right now, which is Cameroon and Ethiopia. Ethiopia leads 1-0. Cameroon right now a live 118 favorite, and they're down 1-0 early on. That's beside the point. So 13 games leading up so far. 11 of the games have finished 1-0. The problem is, so if you want under cities and African combinations. Now the problem is every total before was sitting at like 2.5. Now they're bumping them down to minus. Now it's like the, you know, in soccer, the gambling, it's like 1.5 or 2. So if you hit both, then you win. But it's like split your bet in two. So if you want to bet the under when it's like 2.5 or 2, not a terrible bet because a lot of games are ending 1-0, 0-0. The under seems to be a big play right here in the African Cup of Nations early on so far. And we've only played one round of group games too. So it's not like we are late in the tournament as well. So that's just something out there. There was also a crazy, I don't know if you are interested in this, but I saw that you're probably not. But do you like a good referee controversy?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, so here we go. This happened on, when was this? Tuesday. This was yesterday morning. Also, these games are on BN Sport. I don't get BN Sport, so I'm not watching, but I'm following along on Twitter. Mali versus Tunisia. Obviously, when these two teams play, throw out their records. They just hate each other. The referee just within the 85th minute just blew the 3 whistles like it was the end of the game. In the 85th minute, just stopped the game and started just walking off the field. And the players were like, what is going on Mali? They were losing. They're like, what's going on here? They'd like get right in the ref's face of like, what's going on? He's like pointing to his watch, like the game's over. And they're like pointing at the scoreboard, dude, we're in the 85th minute. We don't even have enough time for stoppage time. And so like, they like take the players are like off the field and they're so confused. And then like 5 minutes later, the ref's like, all right, we're restarting the game. And they finished out the last like 7 minutes of it.
That is wild.
As the men in Blazers said, very, very match fixy of the referee. It was pretty crazy. Like, I don't even, I've obviously never seen that before, but that was just, I watched the video a bunch. It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny.
That's wild.
So who knows? Maybe, I mean, just who knows what you get in the African Cup of Nations, but right now you're not getting a lot of goals if you're interested in that type of thing.
Well, you know what's going to happen now.
All goals, for sure.
All over.
So just start. Well, the game that I mentioned, Ethiopia-Cameroon, we're one. It's 1-1 in the 10th minute.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're already just, you could see it flipping. But hey, look, I'm telling you, a lot of games are going under, so water always finds its level. Games got to go over.
Yeah.
You just have to make the decision. Yeah. All right. I think that's going to do it for us. We'll be back on Tuesday to recap the weekend of NFL football. College basketball is going on as well. NBA. I think we're getting past the NBA COVID surge, which I think which is a good thing, because now we're getting back to normal.
Normal rosters.
Normal rosters out there. We're not getting these. Bad rosters. The Grizzlies are on a tear right now.
John Morant's just on another level.
I think if you're the Pelicans, you really got to be disappointed you didn't take John Morant over Zion.
Yeah.
Like I said that yesterday, and someone was like, "Yeah," I was like, "Zion's not playing." Mm-hmm. Like John Morant
might be the best point guard in the league right now.
Yeah, they are. They're a machine. The West isn't very good. I think we could say that.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it. So we'll be back on Tuesday. Thanks everybody for listening, and we will talk to you then.